floor, I beg your pardon. And then you go left at the very entry, one set of double doors, and immediately right into, well, actually, there was two entrances, one on either side of the little pier that we as the DJ sat on, about a foot off dance floor level. And it was, as I said before, it was like a miniature casino. So yeah, it really was quite a strange, surreal situation. But Mr. M's had its own identity, it had its own followers. And it's not until very recently that I was amazed to find how many people went to Wigan Casino but never went in the main room. They only went for Mr. M's. I think you mentioned you were one of those people.
Correct,
Robbie. Yeah, amazing. Correct.
Getting to your next choice, Dave, and it's a classic, and it's also a favourite of mine. And I do believe that it was one of those that was played at the Golden Torch in Tunstall. Donny Burdick.
Oh, the Barry track. Just a great instrumental, a thumping, hard Detroit, fantastic backing track. Also, it was covered by, and I forgot, I referred to my notes in a minute. I can't remember who else did it, but I'll tell you in a minute. But yeah, just a great instrumental. And of course, instrumentals are very important parts of the Northern Soul scene, as you know.
You are listening to DJ Ian on the Transatlantic Express Radio Show on the House of Prog. Also on CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada at 90.1 FM.
And this one was legendary. And this is Donny Burdick and the Barry track. Johnny Burdick, famous for I Have Faith in You, and Rose Batiste, I Miss My Baby, was of course the vocal of that particular instrumental called the Barry track, and that was on the Revelo record label, still very rare. And Johnny Burdick, great track.
Dave, Mr. Ems, we're here sitting, and I can't believe that I'm asking these questions because you're telling me stuff that I've forgotten all about. I mean, it has been a lot of years, a hell of a lot of years, to be quite honest with you. In the presence of Mr. Dave Everson, for anybody who frequented Ems or even Wigan Casino, both rooms, Dave, as DJ, Dave's an old friend of mine from many, many years past, and he's still a Stoke City supporter. We won't hold that against him. But we're talking about this Mr. Ems special, and anybody who went to that venue, obviously, whether you were a dancer, a record collector, no matter what, you would have frequented that place at one time or another. We're doing a special Ems here on the Hitmix 107.5. My very special studio guest is Dave Everson, and we're going to bring in Dave now to talk about the next track on this playlist.
Well, the next one actually is a lady called Gwen Owens. This, again, referring back to the rarity side, because you're quite right. There's dancers, there's collectors, there's DJs, there's presenters, and all knit together, if you like. And when I say that, there's a lot of collectors who can't dance. But Gwen Owens, Just Say You Wanted and Needed, was a Detroit record, very, very rare on the Velgo record label. So, yeah, this is Gwen Owens and Just Say You Wanted and Needed. Just Say You Wanted and Needed, still played to this day, and again, still a very rare record, and of course, still going up in price. They're rather like football transfers, you know, Robbie. I was talking to a fellow colleague of mine, Mr. Richard Serling, and fellow casino DJ the other day, and he said, whatever you do, do not sell your vinyl. It's going to keep on going up and up and up. Surely there has to be a ceiling. I mean, for people who don't know, we are talking about records that were maybe £5 in 1974, which would be about 30 quid then, are now quite literally in the thousands. They're in the thousands, and a lot of them, not a few. And, you know, I'm glad I kept hold of mine now. Even my record collection is worth a fortune. And I say that, not being disparaging about my own record collection, but because I'm an oldies DJ, oldies really were never that rare anyway. They were quite easily obtainable, if you like. But the longer the years go on, that also gives them an added price. Let me give you an example. I bought Gospel Classics, More Love, That's What We Need. I paid, I think it was 6 and 8 pence in the Twisted Wheel, and I got 158 quid for it 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's all relative.
Stocks and shares.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Being an EMS goer myself, Dave, what was the capacity of EMS? What sort of amount could you get into EMS?
Well, it's quite amazing. I mean, how on earth anybody could dance? It's unbelievable. But there's a minimum of 400 people in that room. And there would be, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 on an anniversary downstairs. As the years went by, of course, sadly, you know, and I'm laughing because I know what I'm about to say, and that is that the Saturday night really fell apart because of the strength of oldies all-nighters on the Friday. And that, in turn, was purely and simply because of the success of Mr. M's. Mr. M, they got on that first anniversary, they even got an 800 petition to keep it open. Let's not forget, that was supposed to be an overspill one-off. Jerry Moore said, you're not having my cabaret club, but you can only have it for tonight because the police have said they're not going to open it at all unless they do open, you know, my cabaret club. As it turned out, his cabaret club became a Northern Soul all-nighter for the remaining 8 years. So it was really the fault, if you like, of Mr. M's, the fault of oldies, which created the demise of the Saturday all-nighter after the Friday. Now, I'm certainly not a fan of that, and, you know, and I'm an oldie DJ, but I don't want to be held responsible for that, although I was asked by Mike Walker, what are we going to do? The demand is so incredible. We've got to have an oldies all-nighter day. EMS is just, you know, it's packed every week, and that's what they want. So, really, it took away the shine of what Northern Soul was all about and always has been about, and that was finding new, it's a contradiction in terms, I know, but new 60s. Anybody listening to this show, good thing. What's a new, how can you have a new 60s? Well, you can, because we're still, in 2017, discovering rare records from the 60s that have never seen the light of day. Unbelievable.
And so may that continue.
Yeah,
but on the same vein, Dave,
yeah.
A lot of people didn't want to go forward. They just wanted the oldies. Hence why you said people went there just for EMS.
They did indeed. Yeah.
Which brings us to the next selection. But before we do, it's a great selection as well. Dave will tell you more about this. But the artist in question had many, many great northern stompers. Please let me in. Real Humdinger, to name a few. And one of my all-time favourites from Wing and Scene was J.J. Barnes' version of Our Love Is in the Pocket. But a version from J.J. Barnes that, was a little bit obscure at the time. I remember it now, but at the time took me by surprise. But I loved it anyway, Dave.
Yeah, well, actually, you're quite right. This is actually a top 10 hit for a group called Ace, who I have to confess I know very little about. I think they're a bit of a one-hit wonder, but it was a nice tune. And I don't know, Robbie, I don't know it all, believe me. And I don't know what came first, in actual fact, but I suspect Ace probably came before J.J. Barnes. But it was released on Contempo, a record label, which was owned by John Abbey, who was the Blues and Soul columnist, in fact, owner. And he also owned the Contempo label. He married a soul singer, and he's gone right in my it'll come to, I'm spellbound. Tomiko Jones. He married Tomiko Jones, for example. Mind of information, mate. But no, the J.J. Barnes track is a fantastic version of a wonderful 70s tune called How Long?
Don't admit that it's part of the scheme, but I can't help but have my suspicion, 'cause I ain't quite as dumb as it seems. And you said you were never intending to break up our scene in this way.
Great music all the way. Mr. M's special, my very, very special studio guest, and rightfully, one of the pioneers, as far as I was concerned, in Mr. M's. That's our very own Mr. Dave Everson. It's lovely to have him here. And, of course, a selection of music and really educating me with some things that I'd totally forgotten all about Mr. M's. Going to the next selection, but before we do, we're talking about Mr. M's, and I'm going to ask him a question now that I don't even know the answer to, but I'd love to know this, even in both rooms. He might be able to put me out of the misery, because what sort of sound system was it, Dave, in Ems? Now, we're talking 1970s here.
Robbie, I can't mend a plug. Now, the good thing about being a Northern Soul DJ is that, you don't need to haul equipment, apart from first anniversaries when you need to go backstairs. No, joking apart. I carry a box of rare records, as do most Northern Soul DJs. And, of course, again, it's a bit of a unique scene, our scene, because there's five or six DJs every Saturday or every Friday or all around the country, not one. I mean, you know, you guys used to do the 21st wedding, you know, hold my hat up to you, because that's hard work. It wasn't hard work for us, we just carried our records. So that's my excuse for not knowing what on earth. I know there were Garrard decks. Does that help you?
That does help me, yeah. I was just wondering about decks, the sort of power.
And it had a horn and a dog.
Yes, it did. Great memories, yeah. I can see it now, actually. Your next selection then, Dave.
Yeah, okay. This is, again, going back to the Twisted Wheel, because, you know, as I say, these records were oldies in 1974. It lasted till 1981. As the years went by, we were playing tunes that had been played in Wigan Casino since 74 up to 81. But to all intents and purposes, it was all about what I would call traditional Northern Souls tunes, where, i.e. the Torch, the Wheel, the Cats that we previously mentioned. And this was a good example of a Twisted Wheel record. This guy actually came from Nottingham with a wonderful, he should have come from Chicago with a name like this, Winder K. Frog. Come in, Winder, your tea's ready. What a wonderful name. Done by Frankie Vaughan, of all people, and S.Q. Reader, an equally crazy name. And this is the famous Green Door.
We'll be right back.
Motor Wheel Memories there from Whipper Street, Manchester, and played again as a big oldie in Mr. M's, which is what we're talking about tonight. That, of course, was Wanda K. Frog and the Green Door.
Green Door, Mr. M's special with Dave Everson. Well, being a dancer back in the day myself, and I can hold my hands up to this next selection, was an absolute corker. When I say corker, I speak not only myself, all the Wigan lads, the Stoke lads, the Liverpool guys. In fact, the whole of the UK would get up and the floor would be absolutely rammed to this. Where this one came from, I don't know. Maybe Dave can shed more light on it than me.
Yeah, well, actually, I can't, in all honesty, as is the case with a lot of these records. You know, who discovered them first? Where did they actually come from? I remember this coming out on the Ember record label, OK? And there's a lovely story about this. As you know, myself, Keith Minshaw, Frank Elson from Blues and Soul fame, and Colin Curtis were all local Stoke-on-Trent DJs and Northern Soul fans. And I remember distinctly, because I remember the car he had, I remember going to Rediffusion. Somebody said, Rediffusion, Bradford Market, Rediffusion. And there was a place in London as well, where the only place where you could really get find this Northern Soul, OK? And we went over to Rediffusion in Nottingham, and the guy who was the manager there, I'd seen him in Ems the week before, and I didn't know he was... And he tipped me the wink, and I went with Colin Curtis in his Singer Gazelle. That's why I remember it. And we found 25 copies, and Colin said, "Well, buy the lot." And we did. And I think they were about 50 pence each. And I don't even know if it was decimal then, but you know, we made a lot of money on that particular record. But yeah, as far as history goes, I mean, I think they were real with one hit ones, and they were only one hit ones on the northern scene. They certainly never saw the light of day, you know, with national charts or anything like that. But no, I know very little about Mr. Flood's Party, but I know.
Listening to DJ Ian on the Transatlantic Express radio show on the House of Prog. Also on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada, Tuesdays 10 p.m. and Thursdays 7 a.m.
This is a great record, a great dancer, as you rightly say, mate. And even I danced to this. It was called Compared to What?
Come on, baby, now. trying to make it real compared to what trying to make it real compared to what
That was Compared to What by Mr. Flood's Party, a great Torch anthem, of course, the Torch being a local Stoke-on-Trent club and where I sort of grew up. And it was written by Gene McDaniels of Walk with a Winner fame.
So whether you be a dancer, whether you be a record collector, whether you be somebody walking in off the street, didn't really matter what you were, Mr. M's was a place to be. Even people just chatting in general on the balcony, doesn't matter where it was absolutely rammed to the rafters. And we're talking rammed. As with this next song, an oldie but a goodie, Benny Spellman, Dave, springs to mind.
Yeah, on Minute Records in the States, and I think on London Records over here in the UK, very collectible. Benny Spellman done the Fortune Teller. Now then, just a quick one about this. It was a Twisted Wheel memory. Quinn Twisted Wheel originally played, funnily enough, and this is a nice story, this was reactivated by the guy who first played it. Anyway, he first played it back in the mid-60s, and I'm referring to Warrington's Brian Ray, who at the moment is not too well, so get well soon, Brian. And he then went on to reactivate it and play it in the in Mr. M's. And funnily enough, I then went downstairs and played it in the main room. So we actually, it has to be said at this point, we all got on extremely well. There's quite a lot of backbiting and politics these days, sadly, on the Northern Soul scene, what with the advent of the social media, some unkind things said, but it's the same with everything. But in those days, we really were genuinely good friends, and there was no backstabbing, no nastiness. And I know that, joking apart, I know Brian would never have a bad word about me and vice versa, or Stevie Whittle and myself and Steve and Brian. And we were sort of, if you like, dare I say it, the three sort of top oldies DJs. Don't want to say that, but, you know, we were referred to as that. Because we did both rooms, in fairness. But the great thing about Brian was he was... As with all of us, he was a teacher. I mean, he taught me an awful lot of stuff. I worked for a record company called Charlie Records right through the 80s, as did Brian. Brian did the Northwest and I did the Midlands. And it was a real education. And Northern Soul is very much like that. It's not just going out and partying and the DJ's playing a record and you have a few drinks and you dance and have a good night. Okay, fair enough. But this is because of the collectible aspect of it and the danceable, and it's taken very seriously. People want to know about the origins of this music and where that record was played. And you know, how old the guy is that's singing it and so on, and what the B-side is. Yes, you know, it might appear boring on the outside, but it's what we do, and they're like rare stamps. I've always said they're like rare stamps. To have that rare record, it's something which is... You get a buzz when you buy that record that you've always wanted and you finally find it, you know? I would digress a bit there, but Benny Spellman, as far as the dancers were concerned, that was the ultimate dancer. And it was one